Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
Thank you for tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. Like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me this evening my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir. We're here.
Praise God. Good to be back on the line one more time in the DMV. We have some nice spring-like weather for a change in the DMV in the first day of June. It's hard to believe that it's the first day of June already, usually in this area. We're already starting to get in the 90s and experience some extreme weather, but we're enjoying the spring this year, and we have to learn how to take the good and the bad. And that was one of the things that we were talking about last time we were together, about making adjustments along our journey. And sometimes along your journey, you have to get ready for the heat wave, and sometimes you have to get ready for the cold fronts. And in this particular chapter, we're studying that Paul and his people on his journey were getting ready for some storms and some shipwrecks. But it's good to know that the Bible lets us know that God is still in control in spite of the storms and in spite of the shipwrecks, that his will be done, Sheila G.
Amen. It's interesting that you would say that. I was really contemplating on that this week because, as you know, New Birth is getting ready to celebrate 60 years since the Lord established it for 60-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. Pastor has been pastoring for 28 of those years, and as I was writing the tribute to go into our bulletin, our program for Sunday, where you're going to bring the awesome word, I was thinking about the challenges. And as I was writing, I was talking about the challenges, but I was saying that we've learned to grow together to turn our challenges into victories. And as I reflect on our lives, yes, we're faced with storms. Yes, we're faced with challenges. Yes, life can knock you down, but if you put your trust and your faith in the Lord, even when you don't understand it, he truly does turn all of our challenges into victories.
Amen, amen. And Dr. G, down through the years, on 28 years, and congratulations, 28 years of pastoring and 60 years of the church, I'm sure you've experienced what Sheila G has said, and it's good to have people in your lives that can share that. And I know on the last time we were together, we were sharing about my dad and our dad and how he endured that, and just grateful for your commitment in 28 years of ministering to be able to have that resource to let people know that, yeah, there are going to be some storms. Yeah, there's going to be some challenges. But like Sheila G said, if you put your trust in God, that you'll be able to make it through. Dr. G.
You're right. Plus, the Bible teaches us to count it all joy. And when you trust in God and your faith is in him, you know, you have nothing to do but trust in him. You take the good with the bad and you keep on pushing.
Amen. And it's so true. And then when you're studying the Bible, as we were studying the book of Acts in the 27th chapter, you'll see, like we've seen all the way through our study in the book of Acts, where there's been the good, the bad, and the ugly. And
yep.
It's sometimes it's a sobering reality when you're going through it. But you have that context, and that's good to be able to have context in your life to be able to help you through those difficult times in your life. And I find that sometimes people, when they take stuff out of context or don't have a context, that's when they lose hope, and that's when they get too far down. And we're all human, and we have our emotions, and we're up and down. But the thing is not to get too up or too far down, but to take it in context with what's going on. And so here we see Paul in this ministry to the Gentiles, going from place to place and spreading the word. And so now he's dealing with going to Rome and having to take this boat ride. And the boat ride is one that is a harrowing ride where he endures some challenges that were not in so many words, the challenges were not able to take him out, but nevertheless, they were challenges. And I think a lot of us have challenges in our lives that don't take us all the way out, but yet they're still large challenges. And so in the midst of that, Sheila G, God has leaders that will stand on the word of God and guide you through. And that's the thing that really is reading this chapter, is that in spite of all that stuff, people wouldn't listen to Paul. People were trying to kill Paul. People were trying to do things behind his back. And some of these people were trying to lower the boat away and get away from the lifeboat, and all kind of stuff is just going on. But yet it's still in the midst of these difficult times, and I always think about the pandemic, you know, in the midst of difficult times, God still has leaders in churches and ministry that would always encourage people and let them know that even in the darkest hour that you can still trust God. And I don't take that lightly, because, you know, this is who God is. God said, I'm going to be there with you. He didn't promise that the road would be easy, but he always raises up a leader that will be able to help navigate the difficult storms, the difficult shipwrecks in the life of his people. And it's important for us to study that in the Word of God, and to be able to see those leaders in action, and to appreciate them and to support them during the difficult times. Because God told Paul, he said, not only are you going to preach this message in Jerusalem, but you're also going to preach it in Rome. And he said, just like I kept you alive in Jerusalem, I'm going to keep you alive till you get to Rome. That's a serious message. And to be able to share that and be able to have that encouragement while you're going through the challenges and the storms of ministry is powerful. And you can only see that when you have a reference and context from the Word of God. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's why it's important for us to be open to that and not only just rely on our leaders, but to learn from them and to grow as well. As you were talking about it, I was thinking about not only our parents, but our grandparents and our aunts and uncles that had it so much rougher than we did, but we learned how they made it work. You know, I laugh about how we used to make Spam sandwiches, and, you know. How sometimes we would have breakfast for dinner, and that's from, like one of my favorite things, or big pot of spaghetti that would last a whole week. It was like we didn't have the things that we have today, but we learned by looking at our parents and our aunts and uncles how it was that family unit. It wasn't about things. It was about every Sunday giving God the glory. You don't see that anymore. You don't see families bringing all the kids to church, staying in church, coming home. Remember, we had the big Sunday dinner. You don't see that. It was Bible study on Thursday. Even if you study the Bible at home, we don't see that. Remember, one of our first prayers as a child was, "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord for my soul." We don't see that grace. And because God gave that to our parents and we're trying to pass it down, but as a world, we're pulling further and further away. And as a result of that, you have these teenagers, these young 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds out here shooting, killing, because they don't have that leadership guidance. They don't have that spiritual guidance. Because even if the parents weren't there, we had the village. You know, so if the parent wasn't there in the neighborhood, we brought other people into our house that got to see that same trusting in God, understanding that you can't do this thing alone. We saw our parents and our aunts and our uncles struggle but still have joy. And so it was about the journey. It wasn't about where you were or how you felt at that moment. Even when our dad was at war, you know, we saw aunts, uncles, everybody come together, granddaddy, grandparents. But God first, and that's where that leadership that you're talking about has fallen short. And you see, when you don't have that leadership and it's not passed down for our children to do the same thing, then the enemy gets a hold of everything and things start to fall apart.
Amen. Well said. And you again have to, like you and Dr. G said, that you have to lean on that word and lean on men and women of God to help navigate the challenges of life. And you have to realize at some point, and I think, Dr. G, sometimes it scares people in ministry, and I think many ministers, at some point you have to be that leader.
Yep.
I don't want to scare nobody, but at some point you can't ride along anymore, but you got to pull, and you have to be that force that leads, that has to carry the brunt of the journey. And I think sometimes people get used to riding, Dr. G. They just want to ride along, but they don't want to do any pulling and struggling and sweating and trying to bring others along. They just want to go for the ride. Dr. G, help me out. I'm meddling now.
Hey, you're absolutely right. And I do thank God, because that's one of the things that I've noticed. And what I've tried to do with my ministers is to prepare them.
Dr. G, you still there? I think we lost them. Hopefully they'll get back. But a lot of times when you are in ministry, you are being prepared to pull, to do the hard work, so that those that are coming along can get trained, can grow up to the point where they can lead. And that's an important part of ministry, is to understand that it's not just about you. It's just not just about me, but it's about the work of God, and God always having people training and working to be that leader, it's important for us to pass that on. And when you pass that on, it's a thing where you find out that we're in this thing together, and it's not just one or one person or another person. Dr. J, I got your back. You were saying training the ministers where you left off.
Because if you don't, you know, anything can happen, and you don't want to leave the church unprepared. So you have to prepare them now.
Amen. And that's the thing of being in ministry is you have to understand that sometimes you're going to get called and put into a situation where you haven't done that before. And that's okay. A part of the leadership training you to get ready to lead. And our ministers at our church, they always tease me, Sheila G, they say, Pastor, you rough on us. you just throw us out there. You just throw us out there. You put us out there. And I'm like, you know, like Dr. G said, you got to be ready, and yeah. You can't be shy. You have to learn that, you know, pastor might not be there all the time, and you had to be able to carry on. And you know, that's what our leaders and our parents told us. You know, we're not gonna be there with you all the time, so you got to, you know, learn, and you have to grow, and you have to be prepared to lead and not be a follower. And that's one of the challenges in ministry, that people get scared of the storms, and get scared of the shipwrecks that come along. And it's, I ain't doing that, man. Nah, that's not for me. And a lot of people walk away from their calling because they're scared of the journey. But Paul was not one of those that was scared, and he kept the faith and finished the course. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's the key, it's keeping the faith. Keeping the faith. You can't finish the course unless you keep the faith. And if you have the faith, when the Lord wants you to take you to that next level, you may be uncomfortable. You may feel like you're stepping out of your zone. But if you have the faith in the Lord, then he will help you through it. You know, I just recently started with a new client. In accounting, and when I stepped in, it was a hot mess, and it was systems that I never was used to, but I just asked God directly to help to the restructuring and the reorganization, and some people had to go. One of the strong person that was doing the work of everybody is about to be promoted, but it was uncomfortable for me, but I had to make them uncomfortable in order for them to see their strength. And as a result of that, God pushed old and allowed us to bring in two fresh out of college and 1 2 years out of college, two young black women and one young black man. And they're actually, to your point, working harder and are more committed and are hungrier to learn and do what they need to do than the older ones that were there just being slack and lazy. And they were just taking up space, and they were taking for granted and letting all the work fall on one person, to your point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that person that was busting their butt as a result of me coming in there and talking to the CFO and do a reorg, that one person has been elevated to supervisor where she's uncomfortable, but I'm helping. The other ones that were just slacking along, I basically made the recommendation that they got to go, and we brought these three young ones in, and the department's operating in the last 3 weeks better than it has in a number of years. But I say that to say that we can't get comfortable. We can't sit back. We have to grow. It's the same type of analogy. And if we don't, we start stinking up the place. You know, it's kind of like what at some point, you got to get off the milk and get on the meat.
That's right.
Often people want to stay on the milk and then get an attitude when God moves you or moves you out the way because he's like, need some growth. I need to see some growth. I need to see some maturity. And that is what Paul is demonstrating, that I'm not just because it's tough, I'm not going to say, okay, Lord, let me sit on my laurels and be here where I'm comfortable. That's not true leadership.
Amen. Well said. Well said. Let's go to Acts 27. And we want to just go back to where Paul was on the ship and how they were going from island to island on the Mediterranean Sea on their way to Rome. And we were talking about how they had to use navigational skills to avoid the storms and get wind in the boat. And, you know, that's what we were talking about, adjusting our journey and the last time we were together. But as we see Paul journeying, the challenges become more and more. And then we're going to have challenges along our journey, and we have to make adjustments. But we want to look at some of the challenges that were coming their way. And at some point, they're actually going to run into a hurricane. We just started hurricane season here in the North America, in South America. The hurricane season has started. And when hurricane season has started, you have to expect some challenges. And as we're making progress in ministry, we have to expect that the hurricanes are going to come, and we have to continue to hold on to God. But I want to start at verse 3, where it says, and I'm reading the NIV, Acts 27, verse 3, it says, the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. And that's what we were talking about last week, is that in the midst of these storms, in the midst of these shipwrecks, God will provide us our needs. And that's what the word said in NIV, that it provide for his needs. And in the midst of these things, Sheila G, we have to know that God's going to provide our needs. In the King James, it says, and the next day we touched his side, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And so God knows how much we can bear. God knows how much we can handle, and God knows when to intervene and to provide us refreshment, divide our needs. And he'll bring people into your life that will assist with that, your friends. It's good to have friends that don't mind being friendly. The Bible teaches that he who has friends must show himself friendly. And so you have to learn how, and I'm meddling now, to pick your friends wisely.
Yep.
Because you got some so-called friends, Lord have mercy, that as long as it ain't no hurricanes in your life, Dr. G, Sheila G, they'll be friendly. But when you're going through a challenge or a storm in your life, they're not going to be, I'm meddling now, they're not going to be around. So you have to show yourself friendly, because you're dealing with people that's going to refresh your needs. But then sometimes it's flipped. She was on the other side, and you have to be able to supply someone else's need. In other words, some friends are fair weather friends, and they just take. But when it comes time to give, they're not trying to give. But you have to surround yourself with people that are friends, who not only are willing to give, not only willing to receive, but also willing to give. And to trust God to guide them to where they can be a refreshing, as in the King James, or be someone that can help provide needs, as in the NIV. Sheila G, I'm meddling tonight.
That's very true. And that's why church, gathering together as one body in church, is really important, the fellowshipping. Is important, because you can gain strength from somebody else's testimony. You can gain strength knowing that somebody's praying for you. You can gain strength when somebody that you know is going through something, you know it, and you're like, you know, during our prayer service, we open up to our church family. That gives you strength. That's that whole refreshing thing. But you can't do that with just anybody that's not like-minded. And you can't do that if you are staying a bedside Baptist or just staying isolated or just dealing with, okay, you get up, you go to work, you see people, this, that, and the other. How are you going to know that you're talking to someone that can help you spiritually? Because at the end of the day, sitting there gossiping and complaining is not going to refresh you. You need to talk to somebody that will encourage you, even in your mess. And that's why going to church, fellowship in church, doing things together, that gives you that prayer part. That, you know,
there you
look at it with Paul. It refreshed himself. He went to talk to his prayer partner and said, you know what, I'm going. In the name of the Lord, I need you to pray for me. Ask God to give me peace. Ask God to give me strength. That is what we need to do, and that's what we need more of. I think with the pandemic, it caused us to separate ourselves, and everybody's either on a tech, on a computer, on a Facebook. They got all these quote-unquote friends, but don't know any of them, and everybody's lying. You know,
oh my goodness, that's so true.
That spiritual connection, that spiritual friend that you know that you can call and say, you know what, I know I'm pressing on, but I just need a little bit of encouragement so that I can continue to press on. And to your point, God will provide that for you, but he's not going to provide that for you if you don't open yourself up to have true spiritual fellowshipping.
Amen. Dr. G, want to chime in on that?
Yeah, really, Sheila hit on it pretty good. And the thing is, you know, you have to be very careful of everybody crying, Lord, Lord, because a lot of these fools and these people are just full of it. You have to be very careful because everybody is not of the Lord. And, you know, I know we talk about the pandemic and we had to go to Zoom. That was just one way, but it showed who was serious and who wasn't. And then once the pandemic was over with and we were able to get back into the building again, it showed those that were serious and those that weren't. And to be honest with you, the ones that decided not to come back, you know, I know the numbers have dwindled, but when you come in and you see the fellowship, when you see the unity, you know, you see where God is in the midst. And where the scripture says where two or three are gathered together,
Amen, amen. So Paul is being refreshed in chapter 27, verse 3, and his needs being provided for. And that was, again, to prepare him to continue on in ministry. And so when you go to verse 4, it says, from there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. And we talked about this last time we were together. There's always going to be challenges or headwinds to ministry. But, again, it's a period of refreshing, a period of moving forward, a period of refreshing, a period of moving forward. And it's a thing where you get into understanding how to deal with the challenges and how to continue to move forward in the midst of our purpose that God has designed us for, to move forward in ministry and carry out his will. But you begin to understand, okay, this is how this is happening. This is how this is unfolding. This is how this storm is. This is where we're getting help. This is where we're getting encouragement for somebody to deal with this in this storm, to deal with this during this challenge, whether it's in our physical health or our spiritual health or our mental health or financial health or whatever. You have people that God brings along in our lives to help us to navigate these storms of life. And then you get to a point where you take a rest, and you get refreshed, and then you launch back out. And then that's the thing that I think sometimes people don't want to launch back out because it gets a little rough. It gets a little rough. But in understand that we are purposed to God's purpose and God's plan, to be, we're not just going to stand still and stay still forever, but we'll stand still until God tells us to continue to move. And so when you look at verse 5, it says, when we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Sicilia to Pamphylia, we landed at Myra in Lycia. And again, you can pull this map up of the Mediterranean Sea or Paul's journey from Jerusalem to Rome. You'll see all the various stops that they make. And so when I was looking at the map, Sheila G, not a G, I was seeing that it wasn't big steps, but it was a series of small steps, series of small journeys that would lead them to their final destination. And I think last time we were together, we talked about sometimes people think that you can just go from Jerusalem to Rome and, you know, just like that. But it more times than not, you know, your ministry is filled with small steps with big challenges. But God is sufficient to be able to help you to go from one step to the next step and to deal with the challenges. And so when I was looking at that map, I was like, wow, this is a long journey. And this, like I said, when I read the chapter, it was like I was exhausted, but to see all the steps and all the challenges that came with it. But it just lets us know and demonstrates to us that sometimes the step is going to be small, or the portion of your journey is going to be small, but the challenges in that small journey is going to be great. And we have to learn how to navigate the journeys and the challenges along the way, knowing that ultimately God's plan will be fulfilled, but it's not going to happen overnight. And sometimes we have to go back to the scriptures and often say, you know, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. Race is not given to the swift, nor to the strong, but to the one that endure to the end. I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. Learn to wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord, and be of good courage. Understand that God tells us to be not weary in well-doing. God tells us that your journey in the Lord is not in vain. And fret not yourself because of evildoers, because they'll soon be cut off, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you have to go through all of those scriptures along your journey, and they become reality. But it goes to fortify you to say that, hey, this is not all going to happen overnight. It's going to take some time. It's not going to be a microwave ministry, but it's going to take some time. But God will give us what we need to make it through each journey. And when I looked at it, I was like, wow, this is some kind of journey that Paul's going land and sea, and then back to land and back to sea, and then the wind and the readjustment of the schedule or the journey on the journey. And that's just how life is. And so when I'm looking at this map, I'm saying, man, that's just how life is. And sometimes it's smooth sailing. Sometimes it feels like you're going backwards. Sometimes it's taking longer than you want, but you can't give up. But that's the way a journey is in our ministry. But God always tells us, you know, he's going to be with us always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Sheila G.
Amen. Amen. Like I said, when you talk about that, it really does make me think of the 60th anniversary. The meeting was over, and we were actually typing up the history, because the history of New Birth has been kept over the years, even from its very inception. And what happens is, as years have gone past, people have just added to it, kind of like what you see, you starting Heart of God. So we know from the very first pastor, their very first building, when they got their bathrooms refurbished, when they got the light out, the marquee. And then as we were reading it through, it started coming to the part where we were there. And as you see it, you can see the challenges, the things that happened. God was preparing us for something else, because one of those I had actually forgotten about back in 2015, and I know you know this well, was when the furnace at the church completely went out.
Yeah.
We had to figure out a way, how are we going to have service in the midst of the winter. And God, like, put it in me to reach out to this HVAC company, but as they were, and God made provisions for us to pay for it, but we weren't going to be able to be in the building for a period of time. Well, God worked it out, and it's in the history, that during that time, while they were doing the repairs, we had services right here in this house in the past.
That's right.
So
That's right.
When it came to the pandemic, it wasn't, like you said, we go through these journeys, you go through this challenge, you go through this. It wasn't like a completely, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do if we don't have the building? Well, it wasn't necessarily in our house, but we knew that God could provide another way for us to be able to continue on. And even with that first one, we were trying to use the conference line, but everybody else used that. But then it just so happened that I just started to work using Zoom. So, but it wasn't as difficult for us because we kind of went through something like that, not realizing that was God preparing us for this. The same thing with Heart of God. You know, yes, you all started out, and then you started out at the school. Then you went to the other building, then you went to the other building. So the same thing with the Heart of God. When it came to the fact that, oops, we don't have a building, we had been through that journey. So we had the faith that God was going to make a way out of no way, and he did. Whereas some churches ended up closing because they couldn't pivot, and they couldn't pivot because they didn't recognize that on that journey, there was like a slow, there were some difficult times, there were some challenges. But as I said earlier, every challenge we had, God turned it into victory.
Amen. And you have to be ready for it. And I think sometimes, Dr. G, people run into headwinds and challenges. They get so down that they just, you know, get mad, they get frustrated. And there's nothing wrong with being angry. The Bible says be angry, but don't sin. You get frustrated. But I think sometimes they get caught in that and they can't see their way out, even though the door sometimes is open there, which is, well, you need to stop being angry and mad and do something about it. I remember as a child, and I remember as a parent, the temper tantrum, and the temper tantrums where you're mad, you're angry, frustrated, and our parents would be like, okay, well, once you finish that temper tantrum and do what I asked you to do to get yourself ready to go to school, whether it was, you know, you had to do your homework before you could watch TV, but there was something on TV you wanted to watch. And they said, well, as soon as you do your homework, you can watch TV. And, you know, it's something about a temper tantrum when you're mad, frustrated, and angry. And a lot of times, if you just settle down, calm down, do what you need to do, you can see your way through, and things will you'll get through it. And same thing with raising children. It's like, well, you mad and you upset and you're telling me about so-and-so's mama or daddy, but I'm not so-and-so's mama or daddy. And as soon as you do X, Y, Z, you'll be able to do that. And we'll keep it moving. And when this challenge comes up the next time, you won't be as angry and as frustrated, but you'll know what to do. Dr. G, I find that true in ministry. Help me out here.
Yes, it is very true. And, you know, it's a shame when you think about it, but like you say, it's a part of growing. It's a part of life. You're going to have the ups and the downs. You know, I think both of us could really write a book about all of the challenges in ministry that we've had to deal with. But you look back on those things, it's a means of reflecting. And it helps you to get to the point where you appreciate now where we are. I just started something at the church because the Lord told me to pass out little notepads. And, you know, listening to George Myers one morning with Chill, and she was talking about how we need to learn how to be more grateful for what we do have and for all that the Lord does. So I gave them notepad Sunday, and I tell them what I want them to do every day. You know, you put the date on it, and you put down what you're thankful for. And even if, you know, you're thankful for the same thing over and over, write it down. Then at the end of the week, go back and reflect over what you put down on that piece of paper. And, you know, we need to get into a habit that, you know, we instead of complaining, thank him in all things.
Amen.
Everything that we go through, because there's a purpose for it. Now, God may not reveal it at that time, but if you're true to your faith, in time, he'll let you know.
In time. In time. Amen. Very good. That's awesome. And we'll go back to Acts 27, verse 6, or verse 5, so when we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Sicilia, we landed at Myria in Lycia, so they made another landing on their journey. In verse 6, it says, the centurion, who was in charge of the prisoners, he said, the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. And sometimes change is rough on folks. So they had to get off this one ship and get on another ship. And sometimes change is rough. And sometimes when God calls you, you have to go from one ministry to another ministry. I know sometimes when people are in God's plan to support or start another ministry, that you had to leave that comfort zone and you had to start a heart of God, or you have to go pastor a new birth, or you have to leave a comfortable mega church and go help with a startup, starting a planning a church. And so these type of things happen along the way also. So they had to leave this one ship that had kept them safe and guided them through. And now they have to get on another ship. And sometimes change is rough on people, Sheila G. And
yep.
when you make that change, and then when you make that change that things seem like they're more difficult. It was sort of reminded me when the children of Israel left out of Egypt and you know, they were in slavery and bondage in Egypt, but God delivered them. But when they get out in the wilderness, they're like, man, this change is rough, man. Did he bring us out here to die? I know we're free now, but I think we was better off if we was in bondage. At least we were able to eat what we wanted. And so sometimes it's difficult. And change, I don't know, it's inevitable, but sometimes we like Dr. G said, you need to write down what you're grateful for, and to understand that it's not always going to be the same thing, but things change, and yep. These folks had to find another ship sailing toward Italy and put them on board, and so they, in the midst of these storms, in the midst of these challenges, there was another thing that changed. And so along our journey, we have to anticipate there's going to be some change, sort of like what you were saying with your new client, Sheila G.
Yep. Amen. And it makes people uncomfortable. And it's one of those things where either you're going to get on board or you're going to get left behind. And as you're saying, it made me think about the GPS where you go take a different course and it says reroute, mm-hmm. reroute. Sometimes I yell at that woman because when I get to that destination, in my mind, I say to myself, well, why did they take me the long way around when I could just take
the route?
But I wasn't comfortable enough to take the route by myself, so I followed the GPS, even though in my mind, I kind of knew where I was going, but
mm-hmm.
as I was going along, I was like, well, you know what? Oh, this is where I was, instead of having the faith to go on my own. Or if GPS is telling you to go a certain way and you drive past it and you got to reroute, so then you're in the strange territory and you're not comfortable, you can't make a U-turn here, you know? And just in life in general. And sometimes God has to wake us up. Sometimes God allows things to happen because he says you're too comfortable. So he's like, okay, you know what? You're either going to trust me or you're not. Boom, you're in the situation. What you going to do about it?
Amen. Amen. And so in life, you are going to have those challenges. And so in verse 7, it says, we made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus and Cnidus. And the rest of the verse says, when the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete opposite Salmone. And again, you hear in these words the difficulties that are presenting themselves. It's like, man, this is not one thing, it's another. And a lot of times we use the term, Sheila G, it's always something. It's always something. You know, and everybody can agree that it's always something. It's like, oh my gosh, it's always something. You try to do this, you try to, it's always something. Something always gonna throw a monkey in the wrench or something. You know, everybody uses these different colloquialisms. But it's always something. And so you know, for many days it just was difficult. It's like you're stuck. You can't move forward, and it's just the wind wouldn't allow you. But I hearken back to the times, Sheila, where you said, well, the traffic was bad, but you know it was bad to allow you not to get to where it was, where you were part of the incident that was making the traffic bad on your route up route. Route 95, thing with Dr. G. And so it seems like it's difficult. It's like, why is this so difficult? Why is this taking us so long? Why haven't things moved as we wanted it to? But sometimes it has to slow down so things can develop, and so that the challenges that would permanently take you off track can be dealt with. And see, that's the thing about God. He's orchestrated all these things to work together for our good, but they have to work. They have to go through some things, and we have to learn to speed up when God says speed up, to slow down when God slows down, even though we don't want to slow down. But God is working these things out for our good, and we have to learn to be sensitive to the Spirit. To say, okay, God, I know I can see the end where you want me to get to Rome, but God, it's taking a long time to get to Rome. I just want to jump and skip all these islands and get there, and God said, no, you can't go that fast because I got to put all these things in place. There's people you need to minister to. There's things and places you need to go. There's things I need you to avoid. I need you to remember that the enemy's at work. He's like a roaring lion going to and fro the earth, seeing whom he may devour. So I need you to put you on this side of the island while he gets taken care of over here, or I need you to advance and stay here while we have angels and things take care of this over here, so you can move along your journey. And sometimes God will take people out, and whether it's your professional career, whether it's your spiritual career, whether it's your ministry career, and God will take people out, and you're like, wow. Man, whoa, I didn't see that coming, God. But sometimes it'll happen, but it'll take time. And God said, well, I'm going to slow you down right here. It's going to be a little frustrating, but I got to move this situation or this person or these things or these people out of your way so that you can advance. And sometimes that's scary because sometimes people get sick and sometimes people die. Sometimes people are put in situations where, you know, that they might not want to be in, but God is doing this to allow you to be able to move forward and carry out his plan. But sometimes we get frustrated. Man, it's not going fast enough, this, that, the other. You know, I don't understand. But God's saying, but you got to understand, I'm working this out to for your good, but you got to learn to slow down sometimes. Sheila G.
Amen. You know, I think about two situations of exactly God doing that. One was when I lost my job after 13 years, and I was out of work for 10 months, but God put me right at work when my unemployment and my severance ran out. Right at that point when I became a consultant, and now I'm doing more and meeting more people, and I'm able to do more, and people see the God in me at more clients.
Yeah.
But you're right, yeah. It's time. And actually, the 2 years before I lost my job, the stress that I was going through, until I yielded to him, and then he revealed to me, girl, I'm trying to work this out. Stop trying to they're just people thing. Why are you letting these people rattle you? I got you. You stick to do what you're going to do, and I'll take care of the rest. And I would not be able to be in this position to even today, like I said, help these young black kids get into this profession of accounting while these other lazy people weren't doing anything. But the other situation was when I think about mom and dad passing. At the time, they did. And when mom passed, it was like November 2019, and in March 2020, was when the pandemic came, and it went through that particular nursing home like wildfire. And with all of us taking care of home, taking care of church, taking care of family, adjusting to this, that, and the other, yeah, it was rough that taking care of them, but they took care of us. We did it with a joy in our heart. We trusted God. Their home going services were right on top of the world. We're like, it's God's timing. They did a wonderful life. And then March comes, and we see this, and we're like, you know what, Lord? You knew what you were doing. We didn't. So I can't imagine us trying to take care of both of them in the midst of being locked and shut down because of the pandemic. But to your point, it was a rough journey for a number of years, but God was laying it out.
Amen, amen, and that's the always going to be the challenges, and you have to understand that the enemy is real, and when you understand the enemy is real, and God put things in places years and years in advance to help clear your way, that sometimes you're like, okay, God. I see you working, and you have to deal with the frustration of those situations, or the pain, or the uneasiness of it. But in the end, you'll see that it's working it out for your good. So that's gonna ask some questions tonight about God working it out for your good. Recognizing that even in the midst of your challenges, that God is working it out for your good. And we're going to go to our first caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, good evening. How are you tonight?
Good evening. Hi to everyone.
Hello.
Yes, I believe God is working it out for my good. Sometimes I don't quite understand, and sometimes I'm a little bit impatient, but I do believe in my heart that God knows what is best for me. And so when I get anxious, I ask God to slow me down, help me to just help me to be contented, and let him have his will and his way in my life. And so as I grow in him, I try to trust him more and more, because I know God knows what's best for me. And
Amen.
I can do is just pray and ask God to let his Holy Spirit help me. And sometimes when I mess up and don't get it right, I ask God, forgive me and just keep working with me. Just give me a little, you know, give me enough understanding and enough wisdom just to trust him and believe in him, and knowing that he going to get it. He's going to get the glory. In the end, God going to always get the glory. Regardless of what we do, God is going to get the glory. So we might as well let him rule anyway. But there are times when folks want to get in the way, but I have to keep asking God to help me and let him be in control.
Amen.
And thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I understand the power of God stepping in and doing things. It all started when I first got real sick. at each little thing. It was one thing after another, one thing after another. Mm-hmm. But me being into God, I mean, I wanted this long years ago. So anything you want, you're going to stick with it. It's, I don't care what you got to go through. And I done been through some stuff. But I knew God took me through that stuff because it was all for me, for my betterment. So I wasn't complaining. I might have been sore, but I was not complaining to God. I was still praying to him every night because I trusted him and I believed in him. And I was going to wait on whatever he had for me. So it's good when you have something that you can depend on, something that you know.
Amen.
Gonna go on. I don't care what nobody else didn't do. Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't do this. I couldn't do this. I couldn't. God is not gonna do that. He's coming through for you. You believe in him, trust in him, put your faith in him, and wait on him. He'll do it every time, and I know he
yes,
will.
He will.
And I appreciate that.
Amen.
Thank you for listening.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 7611. 7611. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
God had always been telling me all the time, but I just can't get it. It just, it's a knot in my throat, and I just can't get it. I don't know where it popped up and how it popped up, but it's here. And he had always told me to be still, but it's just hard, and it gets me to get a knot in my throat, and I just can't swallow. But I just have to be still. Whatever it is he's got in his hand, I just have to try to do the best I can and hold my faith in what God has told me to be still. That's all I can say is just praise the Lord, and thank God I got my strength to still do the same thing, but I'm going to hold on and let God do it, his whatever he wants to do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 8760. 8760. Good evening.
Good evening. What was the question again?
That in spite of all your challenges, you know that God is working it out for your good.
Yes, I definitely know that God is working it out for my good. I believe it more so now than ever. I'm going through my trials, and I still see the blessings gives me even through my trials because I keep pressing on because I'm not stopping because I know that at the end of the day, I want to be closer to God, and I trust him more than anything. So I know that he is helping me through everything, and he has my back. So no matter what, I'm going to keep trusting in him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1411. 1411. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
For me personally, I'm definitely getting better at knowing that God is working it out for my good. But the one thing that I've struggled with and I continually work on is when I'm asking God for things, and the denial of those things is actually for my betterment. You know, when I'm journeying through life and I want everybody to come with me, friends, people I've known, and then God's like, everybody can't go where you're going. But me thinking, him stripping away friends or things that I see as opportunities, God's like, no, this is actually going to hinder where you are. So for me, the adversity part is a little better, but when I'm asking God for certain things and I'm not getting them because the lack of those things, or if I obtain those things, they're actually going to hold me back and stagnate my potential. That's where I kind of struggle with, because again, we want to be comfortable, and people make us comfortable, and the things that we want and long for and pray about. I'm like, God, I've been praying to you for so long about this, and he's like, but this ain't gonna get you where I need you to go. So learning that not happening is actually for my good, learning that a childhood friend that I've known for 18 years, I gotta kind of part ways with, because if I continue to be in that with that person or that environment, it's gonna hinder my growth. So letting things go and realizing that everything you ask God for and everything you pray for that's not part of his plan will not come to fruition because it's not part of what he has for you. So for me, that was always a struggle because I'm thinking like, okay, if I'm asking God for these things, he's going to give them to me to help me get there. But he's like, sometimes I got to strip you down and strip things away to get you there. Mm-hmm. You know, the things you ask for, you don't know what you're asking for, and they are going to hinder your growth. So that's where I struggle with, but I'm definitely getting better. But I think everybody touched on it. You know, we got to just stay in the race, and we got to stay consistent. And then in time, you will look back and say, you know what, thank God I'm glad I didn't get that, what I thought I wanted, or thank God
I
didn't hang around that person too long because now, unfortunately, they're either dead or they're in somebody's jail cell. So I've had those aha moments where I realized, like, thank you, Lord. Like, I was getting in the way, and I should have just let you take the wheel and handle it your way. But again, in this Christian journey, and this is definitely a great question, these are things that we're going to have to work on daily, not just from an action standpoint, but from a mental standpoint. It's one thing to go through the process, but we have to also understand why things are happening, understand why things aren't happening, and realize that, yes, you're going to be frustrated at God. You're going to be angry at God, but look, work through it. Don't stay there, because there's a bigger reason that you may not know yet and a bigger plan that you may not know that God has in store. But, you know, definitely a great question. But, yes, this is something that I work on and have to deal with on a daily basis. But, you know, I'm continuing to show up. These calls are definitely helpful, and they definitely help put things in perspective for me. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Well, Dr. G, that's going to do it for us tonight. You have some final comments and close out with prayer, please.
Well, I think everyone has pretty much said it, that we have to stay the course, follow the process, and let God handle it. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, O God, for just another evening that we've been able to get into the Word and learn some things about you. Father, we thank you for Paul. We thank you for his journey. Lord, help us to understand that you do know best. O God, we pray thee, O Lord, that whatever your will is now for us, that it will be done. For we do ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.